The Property Pod. Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hi there and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. On this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in South Africa's vibrant property industry. President Cyril Ramaphosa last week signed off the new Expropriation Act into law. The hot topic of expropriation without compensation has been debated since 1994, but there has been a push more fervently following the ANC's 2017 conference. SA's National Assembly passed the expropriation bill in March last year, but that was just a few months before the elections. There has been opposition to the bill from various quarters, including opposition parties and some business organizations. But Ramaphosa signing it into law has riled the main opposition, the DA, which is a key partner in the new government of national unity. The DA has declared a dispute, and while other political parties and organizations are considering taking the matter to court, as you know, property rights are a key part of the SA Constitution, and now we are speaking to the SA Property Owners Association on its position on the latest developments. Historically, SAPOA, which represents the commercial property sector in the country, has been somewhat against changing South Africa's land expropriation laws. SAPOA's CEO, Neil Gopal, is on the line now. Neil, welcome to the Property Pod. I didn't think we would be speaking to you again so soon.
Thank you, Suren, and thank you for the opportunity. Nice to hear from you again.
Off the cuff, were you or SAPOA surprised by the president's announcement?
Suren, no. You know, we have over the last 15 years or so made various representations and submission on the bill to National Assembly of Parliament. We were invited to Parliament on numerous occasions. So I think there were about 18 amendments. We made submissions on each one. And so, no, we were not surprised that the bill was signed.
And has SAPOA's position on the overall bill and now law changed? If not, perhaps you want to reiterate the industry's position.
Yeah, well, there are two fundamental issues we have concerns with. But I think before that, it's important to understand that we do believe that while the historical background of land ownership needs to be addressed, it must be done to ensure that the imbalances is dealt with and that, you know, there is economic stability that continues to be reinforced. Now, the two matters that we are concerned about is that there's a lack of clarity under which circumstances there would be, it would be just and equitable to pay nil compensation. The current act does not carefully and clearly prescribe those circumstances. So, that's going to be tested in court, there's no doubt. The second issue, of course, which we have major concern with, is the contention that where land is held for purely speculative purposes. Now, I've met many previous ministers of public works, and we debated this at length personally on this issue. And I think, you know, in this case, the act says that land held for speculative purposes could be expropriated for nil compensation. I think what is important to understand here, Suren, is that, you know, a buy and hold strategy is an international real estate approach. If you buy and hold land for nil value, it will disrupt property market fundamentals and also disrupt capital flows and capital markets. So, you know, nobody buys land and holds it for nil value. So there seems to be no reason why land held for so-called speculative purposes could qualify for expropriation for nil compensation. I think many, many landowners have a sole purpose of business, and that is to speculate on land.
Well, it makes sense. I've heard the concept of land banking, and it's not just listed property companies, but even hoteliers and other groups that do that. From a property rights perspective, where do you think things are going? Several organizations, largely main opposition parties, as I said, are not happy and want to take the matter to court. Is SAPOA in particular considering any legal action as well?
I have been in conversation and consultation with various organizations. In fact, this Friday morning, I have a meeting with BUSA to unpack the act and determine some of the implications and the way forward. So, no, we haven't taken any decision at board level to challenge any aspect of this act at this stage in time.
As the voice of commercial property sector in South Africa, does SAPOA think that formalizing EWC, I know it's not regarded as that, rather the new Expropriation Act, will it still hurt the property sector in terms of investment based on some of the issues that you raised?
Yes, to a certain extent. I think what is important to understand is that because the sector relies on both foreign and domestic investment, we can't ignore the prescripts of international law. And what I mean by that is customary international law does not allow for expropriation without compensation. Internationally, that is deemed as confiscation of property. So there is already a problem because customary international law forms part of South African law. So there's no doubt that, you know, I guess the bottom line is that the Act is not perfect and that we do feel that there are, compared to the previous 17 amendments, there's been some improvement. But there is no doubt that this is going to be challenged in court.
You talked about talking to BUSA. What do you hope to achieve out of that? Will it be taken back to NEDLAC? What's the likelihood of government listening to you within the context of it effectively being signed into law?
Well, you know, it's not easy to act that has already been passed. So the intention with BUSA on Friday, I mean, is essentially to understand from the various sectors of the economy, bearing in mind that BUSA represents various sectors of the economy. So, you know, the mining industry is likely to be there, the agricultural industry is likely to be there, possibly somebody representing, you know, the farming community and other sectors of the economy. So we will get to understand on Friday exactly how the various sectors are impacted upon. I'm sure the Banking Association will be part of this meeting. I mean, they are bondholders on a lot of this property. There must be some impact. And then the process internally with BUSA, I don't fully understand that. We will get to understand after Friday's meeting what BUSA intends to do with the outcomes of that conversation.
Just going back to the investment question, have you had some sentiments being expressed by your members in terms of what the impact could be on investment? Yes, you say the matter might be taken to court, but it's been an issue discussed at SAPOA over the last two decades even about the possibility of this. Now it becoming an act, you know, there's some positivity returning to the sector with interest rates coming down and that sort of thing. How big an impact could this have on sentiment, if not investment?
I think, you know, we need to be cognizant of the fact that, and important to qualify that, there's nothing preventing the state from expropriating land, because that right is already enshrined in the Constitution. But as it was reported in the media this week, you know, what the bill does do is it provides for checks and balances, which previously didn't. And what I mean is the state cannot just go and expropriate somebody's land tomorrow and pay them no compensation. The bill now gives a bit of a framework and certain checks and balances. It calls for extensive consultation with the affected party, with the banking sector. There's a series of offers and counter-offers during the negotiation process that can and should be made. And then it also calls for a compensation which must be decided by a court of law if it's impossible to reach agreement. So there's a lengthy process. It's not just going to happen overnight. And I think because of that, I haven't really received many comments from the industry at this point in time.
So in one or two words, how would you describe it? Are you okay with it? Are you happy, not happy? Because clearly they have taken some of SAPOA's inputs into account.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's not perfect. This act is not 100% perfect. The aspects that we are comfortable with is that it does provide a framework and gives you certain checks and balances that, you know, if you're going to expropriate, these are the steps that one needs to follow. What we are unhappy about and concerned about is those two issues, which I alluded to earlier, is the lack of clarity under which circumstances it would be just and equitable to pay no compensation. And then, of course, the contention that where land is held for purely speculative purposes, it could be expropriated for no compensation. That is a major concern.
So you've explained it that there is a better process than initially envisaged. But in an ideal and honest world, what's envisaged in the Act would work. But is there any concern that this process could be manipulated based on who's in charge? Because there is always that risk, depending on the government in charge and or the courts.
It's a difficult one to answer, but yes, that possibility and probability always exist in the future. So, like I say, I think it will be tested in court. I have no doubt that it will end up. And, you know, I think possibly the Constitutional Court would then have to decide on a particular case. And I don't know which case it would be, but we would have to wait and see.
So clearly you don't think it's a fait accompli. One would think from your comments, SIPOA is taking pretty much a wait-and-see approach.
Well, yeah, I guess we, you know, not a lot of our members firstly hold vast tracts of vacant land. So that's the first thing we need to put on the table. But the concern, of course, is that if there is any uncertainty around the process, would it dry up the development pipeline? Would people stop buying land for future developments? And that's, I guess, where we are coming from.
Neil, just to conclude on the property rights side of things, perhaps you want to share some comments from SIPOA's side on what you would like to see happen if this is taken to court, and maybe just comment on how important property rights is to your sector.
Well, certainly, I think important to understand that during the CODESA talk, SIPOA led a delegation to CODESA to discuss the importance of property rights. And that's what gave rise to Section 25 of our Constitution. So we were right in the midst of that conversation. And I think anything that is contrary to the Constitution is potentially very, very dangerous. So I think that this Act is going to be subject to challenge on interpretation, as I've mentioned. You know, the question is, when is it just and equitable compensation, when would it be less than market value? And that uncertainty is not good for the property sector. What we are asking for is if the matter does get tested in court, and I'm sure it is going to, that the courts must ensure that there is fairness, equity, and it is in line with international law. And then lastly, it must adhere to our constitution.
Neil, thanks so much for your time. That was Neil Gopal, the CEO of the SA Property Owners Association.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.
The Property Pod. MoneyWeb, your trusted source.